Good morning. Yeah, we love Les and Dot very much, good friends of ours. They have been for years, and we love this church too, and we believe in what you're doing, and we believe that God is working, and we believe that we also have a message from God for you this morning. So if you turn in your Bibles to Malachi, last chapter of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4, starting in verse 1, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out, grow like stall-fed calves, and you shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts." He says here, but to you who fear my name, there's a contrast here, because in the message of Malachi, Malachi is answering a question, and that is it really worth it to serve the Lord? People were saying, does it really profit to serve the Lord? What good does it do? Because they looked around, they saw the wicked prospering, and they said, what benefit is it that we should serve the Lord? But God says in this passage, he says in chapter 3 at the end of the chapter, I know the ones who serve me and the ones who don't serve me, and the world will see the difference between those who love me and those who don't love me, between those who serve me and those who don't serve me. God makes a difference. And he doesn't treat everyone the same. He knows those that serve him. So he says, but to you who fear my name, there is a day coming, and we are living in amazing times. It's going to get more serious and more serious as time goes on. But God says, even though this day is coming, to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. To you who fear my name, what does it mean to fear the name of the Lord? It doesn't mean to be afraid of God. In fact, Moses told the people of Israel, don't be afraid of God, fear the Lord. If you don't fear the Lord, you are afraid of God. To fear the Lord doesn't mean to be fearful of him. It doesn't mean to cringe before him. It doesn't mean to crawl up to him like a dog that has been mistreated by its master. To fear the Lord, to fear his name, means to honor God. It means to put him in the center. It means to worship God, not just singing, but to worship God with all of your heart, honoring him, adoring him, putting him in the first place, putting him, lifting up the supremacy of God, making God your all in all. This doesn't mean that you are not important. You are important. You're just not the center. This is hard for people to accept, because from the very beginning of our lives, we began to struggle for the center of life. I remember talking to a man who called himself a humanist, and he said, I believe that man is the measure of all things. And I said, which man, you or me? Because that's what it's all about. But you see, to fear the Lord, to fear his name, means to give honor to his name, to respect him, to reverence him. to stand in awe of His majesty and His glory and who He is, of His love, of His grace, of His mercy. These are things that entail fearing His name. To fear the name of the Lord means that you adore Him, you love Him. It means that you are absolutely convinced of His goodness. And His goodness is expressed in different ways. God is always good. But if we're living in sin, He corrects us. And this is His goodness. If you don't believe in His goodness, and he corrects you, you interpret the correction as rejection, and you run away from God. To fear His name means to be absolutely convinced that there is no fault in God. He is absolutely good. I want you to just look in the first chapter of Malachi. In Malachi 1, there's an interesting verse here in verse 6. It says, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am the master, where is my reverence, says the Lord? To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name?" See, Malachi is speaking to people that were despising the name of God, and they were surprised that God would say something like that, or the prophet would say, "How are we despising the name of God?" And so Malachi goes on to say, because you are bringing as an offering something that you didn't want anyway. You're bringing to God as an offering, you're bringing, for instance, a lamb that was defected anyway. It was missing an eye. It was missing a limb. Maybe a lion came into the herd and took a lamb out of the herd and left it there lame. And so you said, "Well, I'll bring that to God." That's what the people were doing. And God says, "You're despising my name because you're not bringing me the best." This sounds like a foreign language in a world that lives by principle, self-centered. The best thing that God can do for us is decentralize ourselves. And all God's people said, "Absolutely nothing. I am in shock." If I am the Father, where is my honor? God says, a son honors the Father. If you look through the songs that talk about the Father, they're almost always, "Father, you do this for me. Father, you do this for me. Father, you give me everything I need. Father, you love me. Father, you lift me up. Father, you save me. Father, you help me. Father, you enrich me. Father, you give me. You give me. Father, you give me." And that's fine, because you know what? He does give. God is generous. He is so loving. He is so gracious. He is so generous, and He loves to give. But you very rarely hear a song that says, "Father, I honor you. I want to obey you. I want to please you. Not meet your approval, please you, but please you because I love you, and I am convinced that you are worthy of not only my songs, but you are worthy of my heart. You're worthy of all of my adoration, and I want to express that in obeying you. Jesus is the Son. Do you agree with that? And do you agree that Jesus had an unbelievable, healthy relationship with the Father? Can you believe that Jesus never did anything out of slavish fear to the Father? Okay. And he said, the Son, he defines sonship. And he defines what it means to live as a son with the Father. He said, the Son always does the things that please the Father. That's sonship. And that's mature sonship. Sonship is maturity. To say, if I do something that I don't want to do, I'm not acting in sonship, is totally ridiculous at its best. Is anyone there this morning? Would you like another guest speaker? Because this is my message this morning. You see, God does want to heal us. He does. He's going to speak about that. He wants to heal us. He wants to go down into the very depths of our being and make us whole in every respect. And we all need that. And we live in a sick world. We're surrounded with sickness. Sickness of body and sickness of soul. We need healing in our whole being. And God doesn't differentiate between healing of the body and healing of the soul. He heals people wherever they need it. But the way to be healed, the way to have my needs met, is not by begging God to meet my needs or even concentrating on meeting my needs. But the way to have my needs met is to honor the Father. Coming into His presence and honoring Him, reverencing His name. His name is holy. And that means that His name is separated from every other name. His name is so high above every name. And to adore that name is to bring reverence to God. Why don't you just lift up your hands, close your eyes, lift up your hands, and just begin to speak that out to God. From your heart, Lord, I adore you. I honor your name. Your name is high and lifted up. I respect and reverence your name above every other name. There's no other name so glorious as this name. This name is full of wonder, full of glory, full of power, worthy of all honor, worthy of every attention, worthy of everything I can bring, worthy of the highest praise and the deepest love. Oh, God.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Father.
See, Jesus said, I came to reveal your name. I came to reveal your name. And then he said, Holy Father. Holy Father. He combined those two things. The Father heart of God with his absolute holiness. And Jesus lived in honor of that name. To you who fear my name. This is amazing in Malachi, because Malachi is talking to the people that just came back from captivity. And he said in chapter 1, in verse 11, "For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." My name, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, from the furthest point of the east to the furthest point of the west, the name of the Lord shall be great among the Gentiles, because the Hebrew word there is goyim. Goyim is the phrase that Jewish people use for non-Jews, for the Gentiles. And God says, in contrast to the lamed offerings that are coming forth from my people, the name of the Lord is going to be great among the Gentiles, among those that are outside. God is moving outside the walls, and he's talking to his people, and he's saying, I want to raise up my people. I want to raise up a remnant. I want to raise up people that will worship me, that will bring me the glory due my name, that will honor me. But I'm going to go outside the walls, because I'm going to have a people. God is going to have a people. Say, I want to be in that people. I want to be. See, God speaks to everyone, but many are called, few are chosen. The chosen ones are not the ones that God says, I'll take you, but not you. The chosen ones are the ones that answer his call and say, here I am. Just lift up your hands to God this morning and say, here I am. Just say, here I am. I love your name. See, to fear his name means to take God seriously. Yes. And to you who fear my name, to you who honor my name, to you who put me first in your life, even when it's not convenient, put you first in my life. To you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. See, that's where the healing is. The healing is in his presence. The wings that he's talking about here are the wings of the cherubim in the Ark, on the Ark of the Covenant, in the Holy of Holies, in the presence of his glory, there is healing. In the presence of his glory is healing for every part of our being. And how do we come into the presence of his glory? By honoring his name. By looking up to him and honoring his name, by putting him first place, honoring his name. It's not about me. It's about him. And yet, see, this is the thing. Your Father knows your need before you even ask. Your Father is absolutely, your Father knew your need before you even had one. And he already made the provision. We come, you know, I said before, all the songs that we sing about the Father are, Father, give me this, and Father, give me that. But you know, it's the same thing in people looking for spiritual fathers. We need spiritual fathers. But so often when people want spiritual fathers, they just want people to encourage them, and you should invest in me, and you should bring forth my gifts, and you should strengthen what's in me, and you should release me for my call, and you should be investing into me, and you should be doing this for me. That's what people mean when they talk about fatherhood so often, spiritual fatherhood. I want you to give me everything I need. But that doesn't define fatherhood. That defines a spoiled brat. I think you invited the wrong person this morning. I don't think they...
You're spot on. You're exactly on the money.
See, the way that a person is released in their gifts is by serving. I remember when I was first a Christian, I had been a Christian only for a year, and I moved from one state to another in the United States. I went from California to Colorado, and I went there to work with somebody that I had heard his name, and I came, and I met him, and I said, I came from California to work with you. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, well, we'll give you a place to stay, and we'll give you a job to do, and we'll see how willing you are to serve. The amazing thing, when I look back on that now, the amazing thing is that didn't sound strange to me. It sounded perfectly normal. If you said that today, somebody would probably write a book about you being an abusive pastor. But that's normal. That's the way you come in to your call. That's the way you find out what's inside of you. That's the way you're released in your dynamic, is by bringing your gifts and serving someone else. What can I do to help you fulfill your vision? Not what can you do? I go to this church because they help me fulfill my vision. How often do you hear, I go to this church because I believe in their vision and I want to give myself to help them to fulfill their vision, because their vision is my vision, because I am a son. Paul said of Timothy, he served with me as a son in the gospel. He served. Oh, I don't serve. I am a son, not a slave. Jesus served the purpose of the Father. He came to earth to serve the purpose of the Father. He became a man to serve the purpose of the Father. And he even became a servant to serve the purpose of the Father. And to follow Jesus means to serve the Father, not in the spirit of slavery, but in the spirit of sonship, because in the spirit of slavery is fear, and there is no fear in love that's perfected. As long as we are living in fear, love is not perfected in us. God's purpose is to perfect His love in us, that we serve Him out of love, not out of fear, but we serve Him. If you have fear dominating your life, you will mistrust others. You will mistrust leadership. You will always be afraid of leadership. You will always be afraid of authority. And there is unhealthy authority sometimes. There are unhealthy examples of misuse of authority. And nevertheless, if I am free of fear, I can also be free to submit. I got saved in 1971. I got saved out of the rebellious hippie movement of the 60s. We rebelled out of principle. If a sign said, stay off the grass, that meant to me, welcome on the grass. You need to step on the grass, because if you don't step on the grass, you will be dominated by foolish rules. Henry David Thoreau said, every fool can make a rule and every fool will follow it. And that was the philosophy of my generation. I got saved and somebody gave me a cassette series by a man named Bob Mumford where he talked about the spirit and the antidote of rebellion. And Bob Mumford, I don't know if anybody here has ever heard him speak, Bob Mumford was an entertainer from the word go. He was so funny. And as I listened to these tapes, if you don't know what a tape is, then you need to ask somebody over 50. I listened to these tapes, and they were so funny. And I'd be laughing, and then all of a sudden, the truth of what he was saying would hit me. And this message saved my life. Because I had such an unhealthy look to authority. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 12, he talks about sonship, and he says, the father that really loves his son chastens him, rebukes him, corrects him. And a child with an unhealthy relationship to authority will understand that correction as rejection. And he will reject the correction. But thank God we have a perfect father who never gives up, and he keeps on going to those areas in our life where we need to change. I always say, God loves me just the way I am, but he loves me so much he doesn't leave me where I am. He wants to change me. My wife is very thankful for that. But he does. He loves us so much, he doesn't leave us where we're at. See, in that coming to God and honoring him and saying, Father, here I am. I honor you. That's when he pours out upon us and under his wings our healing. He rises on our lives like the sun of righteousness with healing under his wings. In the glory of God, all my needs are met. He supplies all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Where are the riches? In glory. In glory. And so I come into his presence, honoring him, and under these glorious wings, healing for every part of my being. Physical healing. It is amazing that for centuries, the church believed in the healing of they called it spiritual healing, but not healing of the body. And then we found out about healing of the body also, that our bodies are important to God. We're not Buddhists that are trying to get rid of our bodies. Our bodies are important. We're not, when we live forever, we're not going to disappear into nirvana. We're going to be resurrected in our bodies. Our bodies are important to God. God wants to heal bodies. Even this morning, He wants to heal bodies. If you are sick in your body, God wants to heal your body. But He also heals our inner person, where we're sick. And very many physical sicknesses are so-called psychosomatic. Psycho from the word psyche, and somatic from the word soma, which means the body. It means the body under the soul. The body is being oppressed by a sick soul. That's why very many sicknesses come from a sick soul. Very many sicknesses come from bitterness. And sometimes the way to be healed is to forgive and to release that person. We live in a hurt world. And a lot of you brought your hurt into the kingdom. And God wants to heal that. But very often, the way to be healed is by forgiving, repenting for the bitterness, repenting for the hatred, releasing that person from your anger. It's not wrong to be angry, but it is wrong to hold on to that anger, where that anger becomes indicative. And you want to pay back. People are released from their anger. It's amazing how healing flows in their body. Healing of arthritis. Healing of ulcers that are caused by fear and worry. So many sicknesses today are caused by stress. And so much stress is caused by fighting to get our own way. That is such a waste of energy, striving to get our own way. It causes such a stress in our life, which causes us to be sick very often. God wants to heal families. He wants to bring healing into marriages. He wants to bring healing into sick marriages, sick families. Families that are dysfunctional. God wants to bring His healing, His kingdom healing into those families. This morning, broken relationships. Brothers and sisters that hate each other. God wants to bring healing into that area of our lives. He wants to heal some people's finances this morning. To take that burden of financial pressure off of your life. Some people are living under a curse of poverty. And God wants to break that curse this morning. If you read further down in Malachi, in the last chapter, after he talks about the Son of Righteousness rising with healing in his wings, he says, verse 5, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." He's saying here that in the last days, he's going to raise up the people of God with the spirit and the power of Elijah. Turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons, turn the hearts of the sons to the father, mending broken relationships, even on a generational scale, bringing generations together, not just the young people, not just the old people, but young and old and people in between like me. All generations coming together and loving one another and honoring one another. People of different backgrounds, people of different nationalities. That's why I love London, and that's why I love this church. Because I look out and I don't just see one kind of person, but I see a multinational, multicultural people. I see a potential of reaching a whole city. But this comes by healing of our relationships. Healing comes into even these parts of our lives where generations are moving with each other. Different nations are moving with each other. Honoring one another. Not trying to put each other in our own mold. But honoring and loving one another. That's the result of honoring and loving God. We begin to honor and love one another, and you can't do one without the other. It's impossible to love one another without God first in our lives. Jesus said, by this you will know that the world will know that you are my disciples. Not just know that you're Christians, know that you're my disciples. Disciples are people that follow Jesus. They take up their cross. They deny themselves. They follow Jesus. This is the way that you'll tell that people are denying themselves and taking up their cross. They love one another. Because you can't love one another without taking up your cross. And if you take up your cross, God, it's so important to God that we love each other, that we honor each other. And this brings a healing into the land. God doesn't just want to heal our bodies, doesn't just want to heal our souls. He wants to heal the land. He wants to heal this city. This city is not going to be transformed into the millennium until Jesus comes, but he wants to have an expression of the kingdom of God in this city where people look at his disciples loving one another, honoring one another, living with one another in honor. And the world looks at that and says, what is that? And we say, that's the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of God. He wants to heal the land. And he starts by healing the people. And he starts by us saying, Father, you first. You are number one. You are the center of all things, and you are the center of my life. I love you. I adore you. I turn my heart toward you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You just lift up your hands. If there's somebody that you need to forgive right now, should you just speak their name out quietly? I just Just speak those words out. I forgive this person. It may not be that you're like totally filled with feelings of forgiveness. Forgiveness is very often a choice of obedience, obeying God. Obeying God. Obeying Him in a spirit of sonship. This is something that pleases the Father. And because it pleases the Father, I'm not trying to earn His acceptance by being obedient. I'm obeying Him because I believe that He is good. And I want to do the things that please Him. And I know that this pleases Him. I know that it pleases the Father. But I turn around from bitterness. You might need to just confess that this morning to God. Lord, I've allowed my heart to become bitter. I've allowed my heart to become hard. And I see that, Father, I see that not only as a weakness, and I see that not only as a sickness, I see that as sin. And I repent this morning. I turn around. I don't want bitterness to control my life. This is not pleasing to You. And I know that it's pleasing to You that I forgive, that I release that person from their debt to me. And I forgive that person. Just want to say, in the areas of abuse, where you forgive somebody, it doesn't necessarily mean that you allow them to abuse you. But you don't allow them to control you by your own unforgiveness. You forgive them, you release them from that debt, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you allow them back into your life. Or you trust them. It just means that you are letting go of that poison. Just speak that forgiveness out. There are other people here this morning that may be controlled by mistrust. Mistrusting God. Mistrusting others, mistrusting especially authority. You may have been hurt by authority. And you've allowed that to fester in your soul, a mistrust. It's caused by a spirit of fear. And you need to turn around from that controlling fear this morning and turn your heart to God. Turn your heart to Him. And Paul said, when we turn our hearts to the Lord, the veil is removed and we see the glory of God face to face. Turn your heart to the Lord this morning. Turn your heart by saying, Lord, I believe that You are good and that You are worthy of my life. And I give You my life this morning anew, totally to You. I want to do the things that please You. Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father God. Let's just stand up. If you have a need in your body, just place your hand on that part of your body. God wants to heal you this morning. Lord, I just thank you for the healing. The healing, the Son of Righteousness rose and came into our lives. The Son of Righteousness was crucified on the cross, and by His stripes, by His wounds, we are healed. And we take that healing into our lives this morning. Take that healing into our bodies in Jesus' name. Every area of our lives, into our bodies, into our inner person, into our personalities, into our souls, oh God, that healing power of God in Jesus' name, bringing health to every part of us. I just thank you this morning now, touching sick bodies in Jesus' name. Bronchial sicknesses in the name of Jesus, I command them to go. I command migraine headaches to leave in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I curse every cancer in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Just release now your healing, Father God. I release now healing also in families. I release healing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I release healing for bodies where people are placing their hands on parts of their bodies now. I thank you for healing to come right now. I thank you for healing to come between husbands and wives, between fathers and their children, between children and their fathers and their mothers. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for hearts turning to one another. I thank you for healing in relationships, in broken relationships. I thank you for healing of finances this morning in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for turning the financial situation in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, also for a grace this morning, a grace to turn around and a strength to forsake things, forsake habits, forsake binding habits that are destroying lives in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for a supernatural enablement coming, rising up from within, like a river of living water, and flushing those things out, flushing those bondages out, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I curse that spirit of bondage and I command it to go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I curse that slavery to that sinful habit in the name of Jesus. And I speak right now a grace into you. A grace into you. A spirit of grace. A spiritual enablement. A life. Giving power. It sets you free from that attitude, I can't be free. I can't get free. You can be free. You are free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing right now over that mind that is disputing against the truth of God. Right now, in Jesus' name, I speak healing and I speak the ability to repent in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Kula bakashandayela makaraya. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
The Lord's showing me this morning that He wants to heal broken hearts this morning. Hearts that are full of, that have despair in them. Hearts that are discouraged. Hearts that are frustrated. A brokenness of your heart. Just a despair, a sadness, a long-standing sadness in your life. You can't step out from beyond it. And you've got such longing to hope, but hope is always being dashed, or hope is always being dashed. And a spirit of discouragement has settled upon your life. And you believe you'll never come out of that dark place. It's like being in a dark cave. And this morning, the Lord says to you, I give you the choice. And there are two parts to this. You have to make the decision to walk out of the cave. And you've been sitting there waiting for a major sign to happen, just like Elijah. And the Lord was not in when he hid in a cave, and the Lord was not in the falling rocks, and the Lord was not in the thunder and lightning. The Lord was the still small voice. And the Lord says, as you step towards the exit of that cave that you've been living in for so long, you will begin to hear the still small voice of the Lord speaking to you, the Father speaking, the healing that belongs to the sons, the healing that came through Jesus, the beginning of hope. To once again allow light to fall on your face as you come out of that place of deep darkness, deep gloom, deep sense of despair, discouragement, and fear that held you in bondage. And he says, now step out of the cave. Just walk to the entrance. You have to make the step in order to hear the still small voice of the Lord. And he speaks to you this morning of his love, of his healing. Now, in that place where you stand, and it's frightening to stand there, frightening to stand exposed, where the cave was the hiding place, the cave was the place you felt safe but miserable. And he says, now you can stand because I enable you to stand. And this is a process, but it has to start here. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, we command every spirit of despair to leave this body, to leave these people. The spirit of despair, we command you in Jesus' name, go from these people. In the name of Jesus, be free. Be free. Feel, for the first time in a long while, the Lord taking your arms and holding you up. The Lord sustaining you. The Lord saying, you can. And we say to every spirit of discouragement, let our people go. The Lord says, let my people go. Let my people go that they might rejoice in me, that they might worship me, that they might know my freedom. Let my people go, for I defeated you on the cross. Let my people go that they will walk out in freedom, live in the freedom that I won for them. No more lies, no more deception. Freedom for the sons of God. And by that I mean the girls and the boys. In the name of Jesus, thank you.